Well, get a grasp on your Bible, if you would, please, and open with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, if you're new here or visiting with us, we tend to go through books of the Bible verse by verse, with a few exceptions during the year. And we have begun a study of 2 Thessalonians. It's very interesting, very challenging at times, and very encouraging. And I hope that today's message will just be a strong encouragement to you if you are a Christian. We are looking this morning at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. The title of the message is in your bulletin. I would encourage you to maybe get out a pen or pencil and take some notes. Reasons to give thanks, stand fast, and hold to. And that last line, hold to, has to do with grasping well and gripping tightly the teachings in God's Word. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, and I would encourage you to follow along. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look also at verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. There's an old poem that contains these familiar words. Theirs is not to reason why, theirs is but to do or die. It's actually do and die. I double-checked that this morning, because I've kind of heard it both ways. Theirs is not to reason why, theirs is but to do and die. That's the Charge of the Light Brigade by Alfred Lord Tennyson. You can look it up. Quite a poem. And it's a poem about the 600-some soldiers that charged, and almost all of them were slaughtered. Well, theirs was not to reason why, theirs was but to do and die. That's not ours, thankfully. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and a soldier in his army, he wants you to consider why. He wants you to know why it is that we do what we do. And if you look at the grammar of these verses we just read, you will see this is all about one huge reason why to give thanks, to stand fast, and to hold to the teachings of God. But that one big reason breaks down into seven, and so we're going to go through it as seven. But notice quickly the grammar. Look at verse 13. Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because. Now, because points to reasons, or a reason. And everything from that point, if you look at the because in verse 13, from there to the end of verse 14 is one massive reason why Paul says we are obligated to give thanks. But now look at the first word in verse 15. See it? Therefore. Which means for the very same reason, brethren, stand fast and hold to, grasp well, grip tightly the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. So the heart of these two verses is either one huge reason why to give thanks, stand fast, and hold to, or, since it's one big reason, you'll find it can be broken down into seven reasons. So what I want you to see this morning are seven reasons to give thanks, to stand fast, and to hold to. And I will explain that as we get there. All right? Seven reasons to give thanks, to stand fast, and to hold to the teachings of our Lord. The first reason is this, and each one of these could well be prefaced by this condition, if you are a Christian. If you are a Christian, then you are brethren beloved by the Lord. Look at verse 13. But, and let's stop there for just a moment, every word of God is pure and every word is important, but Paul is giving here a contrast with something that he just said. There's a contrast here between you as Christians and those Paul was just talking about in verse 12. In verse 12, he talked about people who are headed for eternal condemnation because they don't believe the truth. But that's not you. That's not you. He says, but by way of contrast, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. And stop there. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, is the way he addresses the church. And by that address, he is teaching us all that Christians are people who are brethren, beloved by the Lord. You might say, well, so what? Well, let me tell you so what. Brethren, or brothers and sisters, brethren refers to both male and female. Brethren means that you have been born again by the Holy Spirit into a new family, the family of God. And as children of God, you have become heirs of God and heirs of everything that God has promised for his children. You're brethren. You are brothers and sisters whose father is God, who have been born into a new family by the Holy Spirit, thanks to Jesus Christ. That's huge. Not only that, he says you are brethren beloved by the Lord. Now, if I told you that beloved was a perfect passive participle, just like we talked about in Sunday school class, you might go, eh, doesn't do anything for me. Perfect passive participle. I don't care. I don't remember grammar. And what does that do for me? Well, I'll tell you what it does for you. Participle tells you there's a verb here. There's a verb. Action word. Remember that? Run, hit, steal, play. The verb here is love. Agape, agapao, love. That's the verb. But it's passive. That means this isn't about you loving you or someone else. It's about someone else loving you. And the person who does the acting here is identified. You are beloved by the Lord, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact that it's a participle means that this verb has been turned into an adjective to describe you and the position you're in. So I will put that all together as follows. You are brethren who are in the blessed position of having been loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that love continues to this very day. Does that help you? That's what beloved means. Yeah, beloved actually means all of that. You are in the enviable, the blessed position of having been loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that love continues to this day. So what is it that Jesus did to demonstrate his love for you? What is it? Christ died on the cross. He gave up his life. There's no greater love than this, that someone should lay down his life for friends. And what has Christ done? He's laid down his life for us. John says in 1 John 3:16, which to me is as much a favorite as John 3:16. In 1 John 3:16, he says, by this we know love. Here's how we know this agape love, this sacrificial love, this divine love of God. Here's how we know it. That he laid down his life for us. And we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. The application is we should lay down our lives for one another. So are you a Christian? If you are, here is your blessed position, your blessed condition today. You are brethren beloved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God and stand fast and hold to the teachings. But why are you brethren beloved by the Lord? Why are you in this position? And why are we obligated to give thanks for it? Number two. You have been chosen by God from the beginning. Now, this is the doctrine of election. And I hope that this is not a doctrine you hate. I have to laugh when someone says they hate the doctrine of election. You know why? How many of you have ever heard of a special needs child being adopted from some foreign orphanage? How many of you ever heard of that? You heard of that? I'm sure that there are more people who have heard of this. You probably know people. We all knew the Trons who had adopted children from an orphanage in China. Should those children who were adopted out of that orphanage hate that they were adopted? Boy, no. No, actually what they ought to do is love. They ought to love the ones who adopted them, the ones who came all the way over there and for nothing that was in them chose to take them out of that orphanage and bring them into their own house and maybe even, I don't know, we should ask the Trons, maybe even make them heirs. This should be the most blessed doctrine. You should say, oh, praise the Lord. Listen, if you're a Christian, whether you like it or not, You have been chosen by God from the beginning. Look what it says. I'm just reading the Bible here. Verse 13, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Here's why you're beloved by the Lord. Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. You know what chose means in the Greek? It means chose. That's what it means. That's what it means. If you dig deep down into the Greek, it's actually used of making a choice. And Paul chose this word in particular. It's actually not his usual word. There's another word he uses sometimes to pick one out. But this one he pulls from Deuteronomy. This is the same word that God used to tell Israel, look, I chose you out of all the nations on the earth. And it wasn't because you were great, but it was because I set my love on you. I could ask you this too. You who are married, or if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, okay? How many of you have been chosen by the one who loves you? Well, you know what? My wife chose to say I do 30 years ago. And you know what? I don't sit around feeling sorry for Mike Detz. You don't know Mike Detz, but that's some guy that took her to Hershey Park when we were supposed to be dating, and she goes to Hershey Park, and it was terrible. And well, he was a candidate. She could have said I do to Mike Detz. Well, lucky for her. I'm just kidding. Lucky for me. I don't sit around feeling bad for the other men who could have spent the past 30 years with Denise. I say, thank you, God, that she chose me. And of course, I see my unworthiness as the years go by. And I am very grateful that she chose to say, I do to me. Listen, if you're a Christian, you have been chosen by God. When? From the beginning. And that is from the beginning as like from in the beginning. From way back. How do we know that? Because in Ephesians 4, Paul teaches the same thing, only there he says, since the foundation of the world. And in 2 Timothy 1:9, he says the same thing, only there he says, before time began. I mean, he couldn't be more clear. In eternity past, God, for reasons unknown to us, well, really for his own glory, chose that he would save certain completely undeserving sinners and that he would send his son into this world to be the savior for sinners. And even that the gospel would be preached to all these sinners and that the gospel call would go out to all, but that some would believe. Praise God. And if you have believed, as one of my professors once explained to a woman who was having a very hard time with this, he said, listen, we head towards the doors, and on this side it says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the call. Come on, come on, come on. And if you go through and you respond in faith and you go forward and you start following Jesus Christ, you go through the door and you look back and it says, chosen from the foundation of the world. And all you should do at that point is say, thank you, God. Here's what you shouldn't do. Judge negatively the God who chose you. Those boys adopted out of the orphanage in China should never say to their parents, why didn't you adopt everybody? They should say, thank you, thank you, thank you for choosing me. Give thanks. Stand fast. And hold to, because you are brethren beloved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been chosen by God from the beginning. Chosen for what? Third, eternal salvation. He chose you for eternal salvation. Look again at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Literally, unto or into salvation, which speaks of the eternal ultimate end that God has planned for his beloved children. God has chosen you for salvation from the penalty of sin, which is death, but also from the power and the presence of sin. He chose to save you from this present evil age, Galatians 1:4, from the domain of darkness, Colossians 1:13, and into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Give thanks. Stand fast and hold to. Well, how's that going to happen? How's God going to get us all the way into eternal salvation? Fourth, He chose you. Take a look at the text. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now, again, grammar is sometimes interesting. There's one preposition here that governs both phrases. The preposition is not through, it's in. Okay? It literally says, God from the beginning chose you for salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and in belief in the truth. In tells us that when God chose you in eternity past for salvation, He also had two other things in mind when He chose you. He had in mind that you would be progressively sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You would be, over a period of time, increasingly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And He had in mind that you are going to be one of those people that would actually believe the truth. That's what God had in mind when He chose you from the beginning. That's great to me. That's exciting to me. That means that if I find myself believing the truth and being changed and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, that's something God had in mind for me before I was ever born, before I was ever here. The first here says that He chose you from the beginning for salvation in or through sanctification of the Spirit. This refers to the fact that the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sinfulness. That's like opening up your blind eyes to see that you are a wretched sinner in need of a Savior. Right? That's part of the Spirit's work. And the Holy Spirit's work was to convince you that you couldn't save you from that state. To convince you that you needed a Savior. And then to convert you from believing lies and believing the wisdom of men to believing the truth. To believing in Jesus Christ. And then, over time, gradually, day by day, to conform you to the image of Christ. And to do that, God also chose you from the beginning in connection with belief in the truth. Belief in the truth. That's the end of verse 13. This refers to the fact that if you are one of the brethren, if you are truly beloved by the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are one of those that God chose from the beginning, then you believe the truth. And the truth is found in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4:20 says. So for example, let's say, see if you can imagine this. Try really hard. Imagine that science says one thing about the origin of the universe and the creation of the world and where the planet came from. But Jesus says something different. Can you imagine? Well, here's what would happen. You would believe the truth. That's what would happen. Why? Because God chose you from the beginning for a salvation that would be in connection with a sanctifying process of the Holy Spirit and a belief in the truth. Here's another one. We're going really wild here. Let's imagine that the society says something about morality, something about things that are, in their mind, completely normal, completely acceptable, fine, okay, even legal. But Jesus would tell you something different. Here's what would happen. If you were one of the brethren, if you were beloved by the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were chosen by God from the beginning for a salvation that's in connection with belief in the truth, guess what you would do? You'd believe the truth. And people would think you're nuts. Because you're believing something that's totally different than what science and society is telling you. You know what? If that's you, thank God. Stand fast and hold to. Why? Because you're brethren beloved by the Lord Jesus Christ. God has chosen you from the beginning. And He chose you for an eternal salvation. And He chose you in connection with a process called sanctification of the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. We're up to number 6 already. Did you catch that? 6th. You've been called to all of this by means of the gospel. Look at verse 14. to which he called you by our gospel. This refers to the fact that God has called us out of one arena into another arena, out of one world into another world, out of one kingdom into another kingdom. For example, you have been called out of darkness and into light, right? Out of darkness and into light. Well, by what means, by what power tool could God use to get you to stop believing lies of society and the classroom and the government and this world and get you to believe in the truth which is found in Jesus? What power tool could he use to change your heart and your mind and your thinking? The gospel. To this he called you by our gospel. And when Paul says our gospel, he means the one that was entrusted to us by Jesus Christ, the one that we have preached and keep on preaching to you. That's the power tool. By the way, that is also the power tool by which he keeps on conforming you to the image of Christ and keeps on strengthening your faith in the truth. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that God, in his grace, because he chose you from the beginning, has called you into this salvation, this process of sanctification, and this faith in the truth. And the thing that he's used to do it is the gospel. Thank God. Stand fast and hold to. Seventh. And this is the icing on the cake, if you like icing. And even if you don't, you should like this. You have been called by the gospel for the possessing of eternal glory. Look at verse 14. To which he called you by our gospel for, again, pointing to an ultimate attainment, for the obtaining or the possessing of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I spoke yesterday at a conference on the glory of God and glory to God. In fact, I enjoyed so much what I learned in that study that I think on the 29th I'll preach it here. So now you can say, oh, I'm glad I didn't go to the conference. I get to hear it in my own church. But I spoke on the glory of God. Well, what is the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? Glory is everything about Jesus that makes him worthy of worship. But glory is also a place. We are headed to glory. And it's called glory because the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of our great God is going to be on full display there forever. And you have been called to the attaining or the possessing of this precious thing, a place called glory, where the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ will be on display in us and all around us forever. So what should you do with all this? Give thanks, stand fast, and hold to. Paul says at the beginning of verse 13, we are bound, we are obligated, we owe this as a debt to give thanks to God always for you, brethren. You know what? By application, by example, we too, in response to all this, should give thanks always to God. And not just for ourselves, but for all the brothers and sisters around us who are going to be there with us in glory. For all those other ones who also were chosen by God from the beginning for this eternal salvation. There are two other things we should do, which I'll just touch on them today. We'll address them more another time. You should stand fast. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast. That is a call to loyalty. That is a call to faithfulness. Where's Doc? Doc, are you here? Stako, right? One of the first things Doc and I talked about when we came here 8 years ago is he had learned the Greek word stako, and every now and then Doc will pull that word out. Stako. It's kind of like stake out, almost. But stako means stand fast, be loyal, be faithful. And the last one, stand fast, verse 15, and hold to the traditions, which we'll talk more about another time. But this word is for getting a grasp of and hanging on tightly to, like a baseball bat. Only here, the thing that you need to get a grasp of and cling tightly to are the teachings of Christ and the gospel. The things that we have been taught, whether by word or by letter. The things that we have been taught that match Scripture. We need to get a grasp with our minds and our hearts of those things and hang on tightly to them. Why? Because some things you got to grasp well, right? Or you let go and it's bad for you and it's bad for everyone around you. All right, I've given you 7 reasons to thank God, to stand fast, and to hold to. And we'll talk more about those things to do. But finally, a word to those of you who might say, well, that's not me. I used to go walking with a lady named Grandma Katya, Baba Katya, when we lived in Russia. I used to take her out for walks. Denise remembers that. And she was quite elderly. She was in her 80s. She could barely walk. And if I saw her, I'd say, Baba Katya, let me walk with you. And it would be freezing cold, and I'd walk with her. And, of course, opportunity for the gospel. I'd say, you know, Baba Katya. And then we'd go into this conversation in Russian about the gospel. And she said to me one day, she said, well, you know what? I believe in, was it Lenin or Stalin? Probably both. I believe in Lenin. I believe in Stalin. And I said, they can't save you. And she said, you know, it seems to me, Ivan Petrovich, that's what they called me over there, Ivan Petrovich, Ivan Petrovich, Ivan son of Peter. She said, it seems to me that maybe your God chose you. I said, you know, Baba Katya, he did. But you can't use that as an excuse for not believing. Because I have told you about Jesus Christ, and what God says to you now is, believe. I say to you, if you're here today and you have not believed in Jesus Christ, I tell you, you cannot appear before God one day and say, well, you didn't choose me. Listen, here's what God has chosen. He has chosen that you would be here today, and he has chosen that you would hear the gospel, and he's chosen that you would hear me tell Christians what a blessing it is to be a Christian. Reasons to give thanks to God, reasons to be joyful. And if you don't believe, I will stand before God and I'll say, they were there. They heard the message. And they heard me say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Don't let me testify against you. Listen, if you're here today and you have not believed in Jesus Christ, today is the day for salvation. Today is the day for you to say, Father, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Help my unbelief. Change my heart, change my mind. Help me to believe in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for these encouragements. We pray that you would help any who are here today who don't believe to believe in Jesus Christ. And for those of us who do believe, we pray that you would strengthen our faith, help us to give you thanks, to stand fast, and to hold firmly to the things that you have taught us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.